This isn't the word I was going to preach, but that gospel lesson was so awesome. And if you've been around CTK enough, you've known we've talked about that. There are several things about that gospel lesson that just blows my mind, always encourages me. If you remember, Jesus, the first part of his ministry, he was very popular. And then he began to go downhill because the Pharisees and the leaders began to get threatened by him and they wanted to kill him. But at this point in John 4, when he meets the woman at the well, his popularity is at its peak. And John the Baptist kind of punted everything over to Jesus. And all the ones who've been following John the Baptist around now are following Jesus. And his disciples were baptizing too. It says that towards the end of chapter 3. At the height of his popularity, he takes a detour. No Jew went through Samaria to get from the Galilean area where he was to get to Jerusalem because the Samaritans were unclean. They were Jews were very, very prejudiced. So they'd go the long way. But Jesus took a shortcut by himself, went through Samaria, and came to a place called Sychar, where Jacob's well was. And here's this woman who'd been married 5 times, now living with a man, so she was definitely an outcast socially and spiritually. And she went to get water during the middle of the day because she was such a reject, and she had suffered such rejection, and there was such guilt in her. She didn't go in the mornings when it was still cool, or in the evenings just before sunset. Those were the time when the women went to get water. She went in the middle of the day by herself, so she wouldn't have to deal with any of that stuff anymore. And yet, now Christ has got this huge agenda. Here's the thing you have to remember. His ministry is at its peak. So there are just thousands of people that are clamoring for him, surrounding him. Yet he takes a detour into a place where no Jew would go just for the one. And for a one that nobody else wanted anything to do with, who was a total outcast, as a matter of fact, unclean. And again, that's why she would go in the middle of the day. And he goes there and he transforms her life. And in the process of transforming her life, because it only takes one person who's really encountered Jesus in a powerful and personal way to transform a whole region. All of Sychar experienced renewal and revival. And his disciples learned something too, because they were stunned when they went off to go find something to eat that here's Jesus, one, talking to a woman, which Jewish men didn't do, and talking to this Samaritan woman, which is doubly terrible. And so they learned some things about prejudice and about Jesus' heart for the one. And Jesus was revealing the heart of the Father. But here's the thing, because you wonder, like, why her? Because you see that over and over again, particularly in the Gospel of John, where Jesus would just stop and go to, like, one person. You know, the woman caught in adultery. It's the only place in Scripture where it's recorded is in John. Like, why did he do that? There's something in them that the Father saw, because Jesus only did those things he saw the Father doing, only said those things he heard the Father saying. And so the Father, driven by compassion that was revealed in the life and the ministry of Jesus, he saw something in her that he conveyed to his Son that made Jesus change everything, change his agenda, do what was unexpected, do what was not even permissible to go to this one woman. And the process of doing this thing in this one woman transformed a whole place of heretics. The Samaritans were heretics. There were these half-breed heretics, and yet they came into revival. And what he saw was what? Thirst. She was going in the middle of the day to get water, but Jesus identified a greater thirst in her than her physical thirst. He said, if you drink from this water, you'll never thirst again. So he was identifying her thirst and the fact that she could only get that thirst met in him. And satisfying, quenching the thirst of one broken person totally transformed an entire region. It's really all it takes. But what always ministers to me is this, is that we read stories, you hear about stories. I was watching a little Ustream this morning, part of my prayer life, my prayer time, footstool time, about this woman giving testimony of her healing. She'd been prayed for many times and finally got totally healed. And I thought, well, why? I mean, is God really, he says he's not a respecter of persons. So what in that testimony, what in the woman at the well's testimony can give me hope? Because obviously he steps aside, he takes a detour, he'll change everything for the one. It's thirst. That's all it takes. And so what I want you to hear is that being content in him is a good thing. Being content with your situation is a terrible thing. We've lived with the faults for so long, we're no longer thirsty for the normal. And the normal is in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He asks us to pray that, really believing, not just so we've done the thing, we've said the creed, the little words, the mantra, because he wants that to happen. Because the reality of heaven is supposed to be our experience. That's what Jesus came to bring, the kingdom of heaven, the reality of heaven. But we've lived with the fault for so long, we think we have to live with it. And so we grow content with it because we're trying to figure out how to deal with it, right? So we got to come to peace with the faults so we don't stay frustrated anymore. But that's not the right answer. That's a deception from the enemy. God wants us to be thirsty. Because he'll stop everything for the thirst. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So the word is just to encourage you is this, if you need Jesus to do something in your life today, the only requirement you have is to be poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They get all the stuff of the kingdom of heaven, all the manifestations of the kingdom of heaven. All he wants is a thirsty heart, someone who's desperate. That sounds too simple, doesn't it? Who's thirsty and says, I won't live with this any longer. Who will say, I've prayed, Bishop. Well, pray, keep asking, keep coming. You know, the Lord will meet you in your place. He's not a respecter of person, you see. And I can't let my history or the world's concept of normal dictate my expectations. My expectations have to be centered in heaven. That's why we seek those things which are above. And then if we'll do that, we'll set our affections on things above. The problem with most Christians, we really don't know what's above. We've been so contented with this. But I tell you, if you begin to seek those things which are above and you find out what's real from God's perspective, that's where your affections attach. And it's the affections that cause you to thirst. The truth will set you free. Then you start thirsting. Your affections are there. Oh, God. Oh, God. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.